Turn with me, if you would, now to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. I was talking with a brother recently. And we were talking about the evidence of being saved. How can a man really know if he's saved? How can a woman really know if she's saved? And in this conversation, I said, well, let's turn over and look at this account where the Lord describes to us, He shows us a lost man and a saved man. He shows us right here what they look like, what the evidences are. And then He plainly tells us right here, this man was lost and this man was saved. And I'd like for us to look at this account together this morning. I've titled this message, A Lost Man and a Saved Man. Now let's begin reading in verse 9 and we'll read down to verse 14. Luke 18, verse 9, it says, And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Our Lord spoke this parable to those who saw themselves as being worthy and saw others as being unworthy. Verse 9 again, He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And here's the parable, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. A Pharisee was an extreme churchgoer. An extreme churchgoer. Not just one who attended on a regular basis, but one who was a leader in the church, a teacher, a preacher, an elder, one who was on the committees. One who would head up the committees. A decision maker in the church. Okay? One who would be very well respected and seen as a church member of all church members. A mega member. Okay, that was a Pharisee. A mega church member. And a publican was a member of the mafia. Literally. Not just one who was in the mafia, but an extreme mafia member. Who would go so far as to betray his own people for the sake of living a life of extortion, crime, adultery. A publican was a Jew who betrayed Jews for the sake of profiting from the Romans. And they were seen as mafia members of all mafia members. Mega mafia members. Heads of the families, okay? Now, as a publican. Verse 9, Our Lord spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The churchgoer said, I thank you for the fact that I am not like that mafia member. I'm so thankful. This is what I thank you for. Thank you for the fact that I am not in the mafia. Not like that man. This Lord is everything that He is. Okay, everything that He just said. And I'm so glad for the fact that I am nothing like Him. He takes what's not rightfully His. He commits adultery. I deny myself what is rightly mine. I fast twice a week. It's right for me to have the food that I've purchased with my own money sitting right there in my cabinet, but I deny myself what is rightfully mine, and I fast twice in the week. He extorts money from people. He steals from people. I give tithes of everything that I possess. I'm so thankful for the fact that I'm nothing like Him. Verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That mafia member said, Lord, I have no... He wouldn't, in shame, he wouldn't even lift his head up. He said, I have no choice but to acknowledge to you that I am everything that that churchgoer is saying I am. Lord, I amen what he said. I second what he said. He's saying, I'm unworthy. I'm saying it too. I'm a sinner against you. And I'm begging you, would you just be merciful to me? Would you please just be merciful to me? Where is mercy found? Mercy is in blood. Mercy's in the blood. Mercy is found in the blood. This is what God said. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. All right. Mercy is in blood. And he said, Lord, would you show mercy to me? May mercy be on me. Would you pour mercy all over me? Verse 14. The Lord said, I tell you, this man. Which man? Which one is he talking about? He's talking about the mafia member. This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. Man, this is so serious. We live in a world where people are so proud of their religion, and we are too. We're proud of them. I'm thankful when men are upstanding citizens and they dress well and they're respectful to their peers and to their elders, you know, and they live a responsible life and they pay their bills and they... But we're putting importance where we shouldn't. We're seeing something in a way that's not really so. Our Lord said, every soul, verse 14, everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, let me emphasize something about verse 14. It does not say they both went down to their house justified. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, as it turned out, the Pharisee was worthy and the publican was unworthy, but God is good and He loves everybody. And He said, you know what? Both of you, we'll just call both of you justified. Just go on and it'll be okay. It does not say that. It says one was justified and one was not. One was saved and the other one was lost. And God Almighty said the sinful man was the saved one. The heathen, the wretch of a person, that was the saved one. And the one who headed up all the committees at church, and I hate to say it this way because I just don't even like talking this way, but here's the truth. God said he was condemned to hell, not justified. Now here's our question for the morning, okay? All we've done so far is read the scripture. Here's our question for the morning. Why? Why would a fine, upstanding, moral, good example Christian man end up being lost? And a vile, ungodly, worthy of condemnation, sinful man end up being saved? Why? I'm going to tell us the answer right now. Here's the answer. It has everything to do with. It all hinges on who they stood before God trusting in. It has everything to do with who we stand before God trusting in. The outcome of these two men and every man and woman that's ever stood on this earth will be revealed the day that they stand before the judgment throne of God. It's going to be said one way or the other. And a man or a woman's eternal end will be evidenced in that moment by who they stand there trusting in. This is the honest truth. This is the honest truth right here. Based on the Word of God Himself. Verse 9 says, He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Well, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. If anybody's saved, I'm saved. Ain't no doubt in my mind I'm saved. How do you know? Because I'm a good person. That's why. And I do the right things. He spake this concerning those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Our Lord spake this to men and women who felt in their heart that they were good enough people. Good enough to go stand before the holy justice of God. He spake this to certain that trusted in themselves, trusted in their good deeds, trusted in their good heart, trusted in their good decisions, trusted in their good life, that God would be happy with them and He would accept them based on what He saw in them. Because of what they see in themselves, they thought, well, God will be happy with me. They were trusting in themselves. Trusting in what they thought was their fine Christian way. Thinking God has to be pleased with my morality. He just has to. God has to be pleased with what I've done. He has to be. He has to be pleased with what I've sacrificed in this life to be able to do for Him. Everything I've done for Him. Everything I've given to Him. That's where man goes wrong. That's where men and women go wrong. Turn with me over to Titus chapter 3. Titus 3, verse 3 says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another." That describes mankind. Verse 4, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." And how did the kindness of God appear? Christ manifest in the flesh. God our Savior manifest in the flesh. "After that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy." And where's mercy? It's in the blood. "According to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Do we see that? Our works are not a component of our salvation at all. It's Christ's work alone. That's the difference. That's the only difference in a saved man and a lost man. Verse 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us." Salvation is not in our works. God's people cannot go around making the statement, "I got saved." They just can't bring themselves to say, "I did anything. I gave my heart to Jesus. I didn't do anything. I was dead. He did it. He did it all." Salvation is not in our works. It has nothing to do with our works. Our works are not a component, either way, good or bad. And the reason is because they're all bad. That's the reason why they're all bad. Even though there are times when we think we do good things, this is our reality before God in His own Word. All of our righteousnesses are filthy rags. "There is none good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, it is foolishness for any man to believe that he can trust in himself. It's impossible for a man to produce a work that's worthy to be trusted in before God." It is impossible. Our works play no role in our salvation at all, whether we see them to be good or bad. Turn with me over to Romans 9. Romans 9, the end of verse 6, it says, "They are not all Israel which are of Israel." That means not every person born there is a child of God. Some are saved, some are lost. Verse 7, "Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called." That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. God promised Isaac, and Abraham got tired of waiting, and he said, "Well, I'll take matters into my own hands." And God said, "No, the promised one." Verse 9, for this is the word of promise. At this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. And again, this was a son of promise. We're about to read it. Verse 11 says, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, no works good or bad, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. Here was the promise. It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. What that means is the work is not ours, it's God's. For his people, God has already finished that work. He chose to do it for sinful people. And to every one of them, he will evidence what he has done for them by giving them faith to trust in him. Why was that vile, wretched publican justified before God? Why him? Why was that publican justified before God? It's because he was caused to stand before God trusting in the mercy of Christ alone. That's the reason why. Where is mercy? It's in the blood. It's in the blood. That publican said, Lord, will you please be merciful to me in the place where you provided mercy, the blood of your son, the blood of the lamb that God slew to put away sin. Will you pour that blood on me? I'm a sinner. And that's what I need. As I stand before you, the only thing I can trust in is the blood you provided to put away sin. Please pour that on me. The Lord said, any soul whose trust is right there, that's a justified soul. That's the only justification before God that any sinner has ever had since sin entered the world. Adam and Eve sinned. God slew a lamb. Blood was shed. Cain and Abel. All right, that right there is the story of a lost man and a saved man. What made the difference? Good works? Blood. The blood that was shed for sin. Moses, kill a lamb. The law was instructed. Moses represents the law. Under the commandment of God, kill a lamb. The law said, kill a lamb. The prophets all said, kill a lamb. The Psalms said, kill a lamb. That's the only hope a sinner has ever had before God. That's the only place a sinner can put his trust. Turn with me right over there to Psalm 51, where our brother just read for us. Psalm 51, verse 1 says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He said, whatever you do with me, you're right in it. Verse 5, he said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. What he's saying here is, Lord, I have sinned against you. And our brother very adequately told what was happening right here. I have been unjust in my actions. I have taken what was not mine. I have committed adultery. He was saying, I've done the very same thing the publican in the temple did. I'm no better than he is. But if you shed the blood of your lamb and cover me and cover my sin in his blood, I know I will be clean before you. I know that blood will make me whiter than snow, so I'm trusting in the blood. I am trusting in that blood. I need that blood. I plead that blood. Where is it? Where can I find it? John the Baptist was baptizing by the River Jordan one day, and the Lord Jesus Christ walked up and he said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Cast your all on him. Cast your all on him. Let me just say something, okay? Don't cast your all on your good works. Just don't do it. I'd rather us be good people than bad people. But don't do it. Don't cast your all and cast your hope on anything that is good about us. Speaking as a man, speaking foolishly, in my folly, okay, I'm looking at good people. Don't put your trust in it. Don't put your trust anywhere before God. Don't put it in anything but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast your all on Him. That's the only hope. That gift that God has given, and I'm done, I'm closing, but that gift is called grace. Free gift. The gift of Christ, the gift of the Lamb, the gift of the blood. The grace of God that provided mercy in the blood. That's our hope. That's our only hope. Cast all your trust right there. Stand before God. If anyone goes to stand before God today or tomorrow or at any point for the rest of this year or next year or sometime soon, if all of a sudden you're walking on this earth and you realize, I'm not. And there's the throne of God. Plead the blood of Christ alone and nothing else. Don't say anything else. Don't say anything else. The blood of the Lamb, the blood of Christ alone. What do you have to say? The blood of Christ alone. If that blood is on you, you're going to have an advocate saying, He's already under my blood. The blood of Christ alone. You cast your all right there. Salvation is by the gift of the blood of Jesus Christ alone. That's the difference. That's where our trust is, and that's a saved man or a saved woman. May the Lord give that to us.